Mutual presents Parker Fenley as Mr. Feathers.
Well, yes. It seems to me there's just two kinds of people in the world. The people that go around helping other people and the other people.
Mr. Feathers does unto others. Mr. Feathers, an original story for radio by Gerald Holland, starring Parker Fenley. Mr. Feathers, a man not quite like any next-door neighbor you ever had. Mr. Feathers at grips with life in the untroubled and quite untypical town of Pike City. Since the Pike City Pharmacy opens its doors at 8 o'clock in the morning and does not close them again until 10 at night, Jasper Gowdy, the proprietor, has an arrangement with Mr. Feathers, his chief clerk and apothecary. Now, under this arrangement, Mr. Feathers opens up the store every other week. Then Jasper himself takes over this early morning chore for a similar period. Yes, it's an arrangement which Mr. Feathers likes very much, on the ground that it lends added variety to a life Mr. Feathers considers to be already full. Well, this happens to be Mr. Feathers' late week, and so we find him dawdling over a late breakfast and listening to one of his favorite radio programs.
Oh, that poor woman, what she's been through.
She's still my name.
Now, Mrs. Farshunt, you've got to pull yourself together. There's nothing for you to cry about now.
Oh, these are tears of happiness, Mr. Goodboy. I'm crying for joy.
Well, well.
Thanks to you, Mr. Goodboy. My husband will not die in the electric chair after all, but will be reunited with his little family in time for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes, the governor himself gave me his word on that. The new evidence I dug up proves beyond all doubt that your husband did not murder the mysterious stranger, Horace Dodd.
Who did kill Horace Dodd, Mr. Goodboy?
Why, some man he wronged years ago killed Mr. Dodd.
Is that so? Oh, Mr. Goodboy, I think you must be the kindest, wisest man in all the world.
Well, I don't know about that. All I know is that I try to help others as much as I can. It's the only real happiness a man can find in this world. I'm glad I was able to help you, Mrs. Foxhunter. And now, if you'll excuse me, there's a widow lady due to be evicted. I aim to save her little homestead on my way to lunch. Good day, ma'am.
Oh, good day, Mr. Goodboy. Yeah. And bless you, sir.
Well, that means it's time for me to get started for the drugstore.
Oh, isn't he a wonderful man?
Who's that?
Oh, Mr. Goodboy, dear. You know the way he's always helping other people.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, he's certainly been hitting it up here lately.
Mm.
I don't believe he's cut a head of hair at his barber shop in the past month.
You know, dear, I believe Mr. Goodboy is absolutely right when he says that the only real happiness lies in helping other folks.
Why, I wouldn't take issue with him on that, no.
You know, I just wonder if we do enough for other folks.
Well, we don't know anybody facing a murder charge at the moment.
Oh, it wouldn't have to be anything as serious as that. We'd help folks in a little way. For instance, now, you've got such a wonderful philosophy of life. You know, you could probably advise people who are troubled.
Well, yes, yes, that's so. Howsomever, I've been approached for advice here lately, unless you count Miss Fry and her itch. My all-purpose ointment cured that up overnight.
Oh, I was thinking more of folks with emotional problems, dear. You know, you meet so many people at the drugstore, and I'm sure lots of them are secretly troubled about something.
Why, that may be, yes.
I'll bet you could be the Mr. Good Boy of Pike City. You set your mind to it?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I do.
Why, I hardly think I could be another Mr. Good Boy. Howsomever, Bunny, I'll be on the lookout for a chance to be helpful where I can. Hand me my derby.
Oh, yes, dear. He does. Mr. Feather.
Good morning. The Mr. Good Boy of Pike City. Oh, yes, yes. I don't see any reason why not.
Hi, Mr. Feather.
What? Oh, hello. Hello there, Norbert. Out on the bicycle delivery detail, are you?
Yes, sir. Mrs. Fry phoned in a rush order for 2 jars of your all-purpose.
Oh, gracious. Has her itch started up again?
No, sir. She said her washing machine broke down. She wants to grease the gears.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear it ain't the itch. By the way, Norbert, how's everything with you?
Oh, I'm pretty good, Mr. Feathers.
Just pretty good, huh? Some problem bothering you, is there?
Well, not exactly a problem.
Come on, Norbert. Get it off your chest. Now, maybe I can help you.
Well, to tell you the truth, Mr. Feathers, it's these new shoes of mine.
I don't know if Mr. Goodboy would bother with a shoe case.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Feathers?
Nothing. Let me take a look at them shoes.
Oh, yes, sure.
Oh, yes, they're the Boy Scout brand. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Feathers.
A pocket knife comes with these shoes as a free gift, if I'm not mistaken.
You're absolutely correct.
All right, Norbert, what's wrong with them?
Well, the left shoe is just swell, Mr. Feathers, but the right one pinches me.
Pinches? Where?
Right here.
Oh, well, that's your instep.
Is it?
Yes. Now, I'll tell you what to do. Have you got a baseball at home?
Yes, sir.
Tonight, when you take off your shoes, just stuff your baseball into the right shoe.
Uh-huh.
Push it up as far as it'll go toward the toes. Do you follow me?
Yes, sir.
That'll stretch the shoe at the point where it pinches. So you won't have any more trouble.
Golly, Mr. Feathers, you're as good as the answer man on the radio.
I'd prefer to be more like Mr. Goodboy on the radio.
Huh?
No, but I'd also suggest that you rub a little of my all-purpose ointment into them shoes. It'll soften the leather and protect the sheen.
Yes, sir.
Now, have you got any other problems, Norbert?
Well, no, sir, I don't think so.
Uh-huh. Didn't I see you going into the movie last Saturday night with a certain young lady?
Me? Oh, yeah. That was Miss Emma Klaus.
I see. Do you care for her?
I admire her mind very much, Mr. Feathers. But I don't think her father likes me.
Oh, and you ask me whether you have the right to marry this girl over her parents' objections.
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
My answer to you, boy, is yes.
But
her father, Oster Klaus, has lived his own life.
He still is living.
And now he mustn't deny you young people your right to happiness.
But
I think Mr. Goodboy would bear me out on that.
But
my gracious, look at the time.
But Mr. Feathers, do I have to marry Miss Emma Klaus?
Norbert, Mr. Goodboy had a similar case on the radio not 2 weeks ago. Excuse me, Norbert, I got to get to work now.
Gee, I wasn't thinking of getting married. Golly, I'm not old enough.
I'll see you at the drugstore, Norbert.
Back City Pharmacy, Mr. Gowdy speaking.
May I speak to Mr. Corbin, please?
Yeah, who's that?
I'd like to speak to Mr. Corbin, please.
There's no Mr. Corbin here.
Is this the Park City Pharmacy?
Yes, yes.
Well, then will you please connect me with the floor manager, Mr. Norbert Corbin?
Norbert Corbin? Who said he was floor manager?
Mr. Corbin himself said so.
Is that so? Will you tell Mr. Corbin himself that he's a delivery boy around here, and it won't be that long if he don't come.
Will you please take a message for Mr. Corbin?
Yeah, all right. What's the message?
I dream of flowers in the spring.
In the spring.
And bluebirds singing on the wing.
Of
rosebuds twining round the house.
Uh-huh.
Yours sincerely, Emma Klaus.
What infernal gibberish is that?
It's not gibberish. Mr. Corbin and I exchange poems every day. Tell him he can reach me at home. Goodbye.
That idiot Norbert Corbin. Of all the poppycock I've ever heard.
Good morning, Mr. Gowdy.
Oh, hello there, Mr. Feathers. I was afraid you were going to be late.
Late? Why, I've never been late in 28 years. And I believe I have a few minutes leeway on the clock up there.
Yeah.
Howsomever, if you doubt my word, why, we can get a time check from Western Union.
Oh, poppycock, there's no need for all that. Oh, look here. Dr. Bellows phoned in a prescription. It's there by the telephone.
Oh, yes. I dream of flowers in the spring and bluebirds singing.
No. That's a message for Norbert. The prescription's under that.
Oh, yes, I see.
Now, look, I'm going home to lunch now. If my wife calls, tell her I'm on the way.
Why, I doubt if she'll call at this present time, Mr.
Gowdy. Just tell her she can put the soup on the table. Huh? What do you mean you doubt if she'll call?
Why, I passed your house just a few minutes ago, and Miss Gowdy seemed to be entertaining the sweeper salesman.
Sweeper salesman?
Yes, I saw him going to the house.
Well, that's impossible. He called on Mrs. Gowdy last week, and she told him she wasn't interested in the sweeper at this time.
Oh, well, then maybe he was calling on Miss Gowdy in connection with some other matter.
Yeah, huh? What other matter?
Why, I wouldn't want to speculate as to that. Excuse me. Just let me get my jacket off the hook behind you there.
Mr. Feathers, You're positive you saw the sweeper salesman going to my house?
Oh, yes.
You're sure it wasn't somebody else?
Oh, no, it was the sweeper salesman. Oh. Howsomever, now that you mention it, he wasn't carrying no sweeper with him.
Huh?
No, it looked more like a suitcase or a small steamer trunk. Excuse me, would you just step to one side so as I can get a peek in the mirror?
He was carrying a suitcase? I don't understand.
Say, my all-purpose ointment has certainly made that cowlick of mine lay down flat, ain't it, Mr. Gowdy?
What was he doing with a suitcase?
Well, as I say, it could have been a small trunk. You know, the kind that would go under a bed. But, say, I wish you'd try some of the all-purpose ointment on your head, Mr. Gowdy. I'm convinced it'll grow hair.
I don't like the looks of all this.
Well, new train. Hey!
Mr. Feathers.
Hmm?
Mr. Feathers, please, be quiet.
Oh, all right.
She don't answer. Maybe he's...
Won't he be surprised? Oh. Hello?
Sarah Gowdy, what are you laughing at? Sheriff, what's going on over there?
Hello, who is this?
This just happens to be your husband.
Oh, hello, Jack. I'm glad you called.
You are?
Yes, I was just going to call you.
Is that so?
I was going to tell you to have your lunch downtown. I got to go out for a while.
Go out? Who is?
Well, I thought I'd drop in to see Bunny Feathers about something. Oh, that hop-along Cassidy.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing. I'll be home in time to pick supper. Bye, Jasper.
Oh, gracious. Oh, my forever.
What's the matter, Mr. Gowdy?
Oh, Mr. Feathers, Mr. Feathers. My wife, she was laughing her head off.
Well, that's good. I like a cheerful woman around the house.
But, man, don't you realize what's going on? That sweeper salesman's there.
What? Oh, yes. Well, maybe he's got a good stock of funny stories.
Mr. Feathers, this is serious. Do you think Sarah Gowdy could be falling for that fella and he could be making a play for her?
Why, I doubt if anybody would want to sell a sweeper that bad.
Huh?
Gracious, if what you say is true, this is the case. It's a case just of the kind that Mr. Goodboy has all the time on the radio.
Who the dickens is Mr. Goodboy?
Yes. This may have the makings of a first-class domestic tragedy.
You mean you think Sarah's really carrying on?
Gracious, this looks like a real opportunity for me to do good. Bunny will be pleased as punch.
Mr. Feathers, what am I going to do?
Why, step back here in the prescription department, Mr. Gowdy. You and me is going to have a long talk, man to man.
Can you help me, Mr. Feathers?
Yes, this case is it's practically ready for broadcast right now. Who is the mysterious sweeper salesman? What happened to his demonstrating machine? Will Sarah Gowdy do something foolish? And what does it all mean to Mr. Feathers?
Mr. Corbett!
Oh,
Miss Claus. Could I speak to you for a minute, Mr. Corbett?
Why, certainly, Miss Claus. I was just thinking about you.
Were you really? Oh, you're a wonderful bicycle rider, Mr. Corbett.
Yeah, think so?
Oh, I certainly do.
Well, I like to ride. When I'm riding along, I feel free.
Oh, I know what you mean, Mr. Corbett.
Yeah. Somehow I think you do understand.
Did you get my message at the drugstore, Mr. Corbett?
No, I didn't.
Aren't you working today?
Oh, I suppose I must. One carries on, you know. I haven't felt like working today. I felt just like riding around. I wanted to think.
I understand. I get that feeling often.
Too bad you don't have a bicycle.
Yes. Oh, I wrote you a poem, Mr. Corbett.
Oh, you did?
I was expecting one from you. Remember our agreement that we'd exchange a few lines of poetry each day?
I haven't forgotten. I've been working on something.
Oh.
It's not quite right yet, though.
Oh, please tell me what you've written so far.
Well, it's pretty rough. I got to polish it up.
Why am I?
Well, I start out saying, baseball park. The wail of a train whistle after dark.
Oh.
The tolling bell in the church's steeple. The wind and the rain and the little people. The river racing out to the sea. This is what Pike City means to me.
Oh.
That's as far as I got.
It's beautiful. I've never heard anything like it.
Thank you. I believe it's says something.
Oh, it does. It definitely does.
Miss Close, there's something I want to say to you.
Yes, Mr. Corbett?
For the past hour, I've been riding around town on my bike here, plumbing the very depths of my soul, trying to make the most important decision of my life.
Oh, yes, Mr. Corbett?
This decision may affect you, Miss Close.
Oh, I wish you'd call me Emma.
Oh, I don't think I have that right just now. I think I may need further counsel from a very wise friend of mine. Perhaps you know him, Mr. Feathers.
Oh, of course. He makes wonderful maltids. Oh, but what decision are you trying to make, Mr. Corbett?
I am trying to decide whether you and I...
Yes, Mr. Corbett?
No. No, I'm not yet free to speak what's in my heart. I must ride some more and think this thing out. I may call you a little later, Miss Close. Farewell.
Farewell, Mr. Corbett. I'll be at home all evening.
Don't rub so hard, Mr. Feathers.
Why, I want to work my all-purpose ointment deep down into your scalp.
Well, I'll be swished if I can see what this has got to do with my wife carrying on with a sweeper salesman.
It's all part of my plan, Mr. Gowdy. Just hold still.
What I should have done is gone home and had it out with Sarah tooth and nail.
Why, my gracious, that would have been the worst possible thing to do.
You think so?
If Mr. Goodboy had used them methods, why, I imagine he'd have lost his sponsor years ago.
Who the dickens is Mr. Goodboy?
Oh. Mr. Goodboy is just an old gentleman that tries to be helpful to other people. I'm following his rules of conduct in your case, Mr. Gowdy.
Then will you tell me why you have to rub your doggone all-purpose ointment into my scalp?
Yes, I'll be glad to, sir. Now just sit back in the chair, if you will.
Yes.
One more jar ought to do the trick.
Do what trick?
Why, grow hair on your bald head. That's what trick.
I don't want hair. I want my wife to come to her senses.
Yes, I know. Of course you do. And that's exactly what I'm trying to bring about.
Well, I don't follow you, Mr. Feathers.
All right, sir, I'll explain. Some weeks ago, when I was working the late shift at the store here, I had the privilege of hearing Mr. Goodboy's radio program for 5 mornings in a row.
I don't see what difference that makes.
The problem facing Mr. Goodboy at that time was a husband carrying on with another woman.
No.
He was a mortician. She was a lady embalmer. Now, that poor wife, she come to Mr. Goodboy and laid her cards right on the table.
Yes, yes.
What'll I do, Mr. Goodboy, she says. Should I hire a private detective? In other words, a private eye. Should I have it out with my husband, tooth and nail?
Yeah, that's what I think I should do.
Or, she says, should I pretend not to notice what's going on under my very nose?
And what did Mr. Goodboy advise?
He advised that wife to take no notice of the hijinks in the morgue. On the contrary, he said for her to start acting gay and carefree, to get herself a home permanent wave set, to manicure her nails, and, in general, to doll herself up like a circus horse.
Yes, yes, and what happened?
Why, just what Mr. Goodboy expected would happen. The husband woke up to the fact that his wife was dressed to the eyebrows, and he fell in love with her all over again.
Did the lady embalmer make trouble for him?
Oh, she didn't dare. Mr. Goodboy had the goods on her.
No.
Yes, he'd been lying on a nearby slab, pretending to be a corpse, and had enough evidence to run her right out of town.
Gee, that was a pretty cute trick.
Oh, yes. Well, all his tricks are cute. Now, do you follow my reasoning, Mr. Gowdy? Do you see that I'm just reversing Mr. Goodboy's formula?
Reverse?
Yes, since in this case it's the wife that seems to be straying away. I'm advising you to spruce up to the point where your wife will fall in love with you all over again.
Well, it makes sense, I guess, but ain't that about enough of that ointment on my head?
Why, yes, yes, I believe so. Let me just wipe the surplus out of your ears, yeah? Yeah?
Look out.
There we are. Now, I'm confident that we'll get results from this treatment, Mr. Gowdy.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, I suggest that you race down to Mac's Fifth Avenue Men's Store and get yourself a British Lounge model suit. With the wide shoulders and the hair that I'm hoping to grow, I think that Sarah won't find it hard to make a choice between you and a sweeper salesman.
Yeah, well, wait a minute, Mr. Feathers. Look here, this thing's going to run into money.
You want to hold your wife, don't you?
Well, yes, if the price isn't too far out of line.
All right, look at it this way, Mr. Gowdy.
Yeah.
No matter how it turns out, You need a new suit of clothes anyway.
Yeah, suppose you're right. Oh, you better answer that, Mr. Feathers.
Pike City Pharmacy, Mr. Feathers.
Mr. Feathers, this is Barney.
Yes.
Is Mr. Gowdy there?
Yes.
Well, I don't want him to know that I'm calling. Sarah Gowdy's just been here, and she wants us for dinner Thanksgiving.
Oh, but look here. Wasn't you planning to have a carrot loaf at home?
Yes, but that'll keep. Now, Sarah particularly wants us at her house. She has a surprise for Mr. Gowdy.
I doubt if it'll be any surprise.
Oh, dear, does he suspect what Sarah's up to?
Everything, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear me. Well, we'll have to go just the same.
I presume turkey will be served. You know I can't eat that.
Yes, dear, but Sarah's having several vegetables.
All right. Tell her I prefer mine raw.
I did, dear. I did.
My gracious, I wouldn't break my vegetarian vow for any reason whatsoever.
He understands, dear. Now be sure that Mr. Gowdy doesn't know anything about tomorrow.
Yes, I'll do my best.
Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye.
Who was that?
The gas company. Mr. Gowdy, you better get down to Max Fifth Avenue Men's Store just as fast as you can, because there's no time to lose.
Oh, is it a beautiful day for Thanksgiving, dear?
Why, I ain't looked out as yet. I'm having a little trouble with this bow tie here.
Let me help you there.
I seem to be a little bit nervous. How do I look?
You look wonderful here. Except maybe a little bit tired.
I don't wonder at that. Gracious, I tossed and turned most of the night.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
There's more to this business of helping other people than I suspected. Now I know what Mr. Goodboy is up against on the radio.
Dear, I just don't understand just how you're helping Mr. Gowdy.
Well, you'll understand after we get to his house for dinner. Oh, my gracious, look at the time. We're due at Jasper Gowdy's house right now. Ring the bell, will you, Bunny?
All right. You dear, I just didn't dream that the Gowdys were having a problem. She seemed so gay yesterday.
Yeah, that's the trouble. Her being too gay.
Oh, just how do you mean?
Somebody's coming.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, hello, Mr. Feathers. Come on in.
Yes, I'll be glad to.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mr. Gowdy.
Happy. That's a hot one, huh, Mr. Feathers?
Well, we'll see, Mr. Gowdy. Say, that's a nice suit. Is that a British lounge?
Yeah.
Well, that's awful becoming.
Don't you think the shoulders are too wide?
No, I wouldn't say so.
I can't get through the kitchen door with them.
Not even sideways?
Possibly sideways, yeah.
I'll go and see if I can help Sarah.
Yes, all right, Bunny. How is everything, Mr. Gowdy?
I don't know. Mrs. Gowdy's acting awful peculiar, keeping giggling all the time.
All right. Now, don't give up too easy.
She's got something up her sleeve. Maybe she's going to announce her plans at the dinner table. If so, I swear I'll throw the turkey right at her.
Here they come.
Oh, well, dear Mr. Feathers, it's so nice to see you. Isn't it a perfect day?
Why, I reserve decision on that.
Sarah wants us all to come into the living room.
Mm-hmm. Here it comes.
All right, steady, Mr. Feathers.
Oh, just wait till you see what... Oh, dear, would you mind answering that, Mr. Feathers? Tell him I'll call back.
Yes, all right. Gowdy residence. Mr. Feathers, house guest, speaking.
Gee, I've been trying to get you everywhere, Mr. Feathers.
Who is this?
Norbert Corbett, Mr. Feathers.
Oh, what's up, Norbert?
I'm calling from the Pittsfield Police Station, Mr. Feathers.
Oh, I see. Taking an interest in police work, are you, Norbert?
No, sir. I'm being detained here pending the arrival of Miss Emma Klaus's father.
Oh, my gracious. What's happened?
I decided to elope with Miss Klaus, as you suggested. And her father sent out an alarm.
No, but I didn't mean for you to elope.
You didn't?
Gracious sakes, no. I was just giving you Mr. Goodboy's philosophy for future reference in years to come.
Oh. Well, I'll explain that to Mr. Klaus.
Is he pretty mad?
Yes, sir, but I told him he'd better think twice before punching you in the nose.
Gracious, I hope so. Norbert, I'm awful sorry that you have to spend your Thanksgiving in jail.
Oh, it's not so bad, Mr. Feathers. Me and Miss Klaus are having dinner with the other prisoners here. Chicken fricassee.
Oh, gracious.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, Mr. Feathers. The sergeant says I got to get off the wire. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Norbert.
Dear, is Norbert all right?
Why, I suppose so, if you like chicken fricassee.
Come into the living room, you two feathers.
Now, Sarah, I think the time has come for a showdown.
Oh, just be patient, dear. Mr. Feathers, stand here. And, Buddy, you there.
That puts me out here in the hall with these wide shoulders.
Oh, there. Now then, we're all ready. Jasper,
I have a surprise for you.
Surprise? That's a laugh, ain't it, Mr. Gowdy?
All right, Sarah, let's have it.
Bunny, will you be ready to remove the screen?
Oh, I'll be glad to, Sarah.
Now, would you like to guess what's behind the screen?
I guess it's the sweeper salesman.
He's right, isn't he? Sarah Gowdy.
But, Jasper, what would the sweeper salesman be doing behind that screen?
That's what Mr. Gowdy here would like to know.
I don't understand. In the first place, the sweeper salesman doesn't sell sweepers anymore.
No. Say, this may alter the case.
What does he sell, if I may ask?
Bunny, remove the screen and show him.
All right, just a minute. There.
Now, what do you say, Jasper Gowdy?
Why...
What is it?
Why, it's a television set. That's what the sweeper salesman is selling now.
Thanksgiving surprise for you, dear.
For me?
According to that television machine, we're in for a blizzard.
With all my love, Jasper.
Oh, my goodness, Sarah, I owe you an apology. I don't know what to say. I'm terribly embarrassed. Mr. Feathers, you got me into this mess. You're the one that put the idea in my head that Sarah was carrying on with the sweeper salesman.
And I was carrying on.
Now, look here.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Feathers, you planted the poison in my mind. You made me buy this infernal suit.
I was only following the philosophy of Mr. Goodboy.
Oh, Mr. Feathers, you've besmirched my fair name.
I'll say he hasn't. Under the circumstances, I think the turkey dinner invitation is hereby withdrawn.
Mr. Feathers will apologize. Oh, won't you, dear?
No. No, I guess this thing has gone way past the apology stage. I think we better go, Miss Feathers. I believe we have a carrot loaf on hand at home with which to celebrate the holiday.
When I think of all you put me through, poisoning my mind, making me buy this suit, rubbing your confounded all-purpose ointment into my scalp, almost breaking up my home.
Come on, buddy, let's go.
What?
What in the world has happened to your scalp?
What do you mean? Did he take the skin off?
No. No, dear. Oh, look, Mr. Feathers. There's a fuzz. Jasper, I do believe you're growing hair.
What? Let me get a look in the mirror.
See for yourself. Isn't that something growing out your head?
Good gravy. Yes, Mr. Feathers, look. It is hair.
Oh, darling, look.
I ain't surprised. Why do you think I rubbed the stuff into your scalp in the first place? For exercise?
Mr. Feathers, this is a sensation. If I grow a head of hair, I'll let the doggone it, I'll raise your salary.
Darling, did you hear that?
Oh, this changes everything. Oh, Jasper, you look like a movie star.
This is wonderful. Just think, me with hair. Hey, where do you think you're going, Mr. Feathers?
I understood we was asked to leave.
Asked to leave? Nothing of the kind. Why, I owe you a debt of gratitude I'll never be able to repay.
Of course.
Did you hear that, dear?
Why, then, in other words, Jasper Gowdy, I've been able to help you?
I'll say you have.
And Mr. Goodboy and his radio program is vindicated.
Sure. Now, all right, folks, everybody into the dining room. And Mr. Feathers, how about breaking down and having a drumstick?
Oh, no. No, sir, I wouldn't break my vegetarian vow. Howsomever, in honor of the occasion, I will have a little gravy.
Good for you, Mr. Feathers.
You've been visiting with Mr. Feathers, an original story for radio written by Gerald Holland and starring Parker Fenley. Produced by Herbert Rice and directed by Rocco Tito. With original music composed and conducted by Ben Ludlow. The cast included Eleanor Phelps as Bunny Feathers, Ralph Locke as Jasper Gowdy, Grace Keddy as Sarah Gowdy, Lee Truehill as Emma Klaus, and Merk Copeland as Robert. This is Bob Emmerich speaking. Join us next week at this time for another visit with Mr. Feathers, heard in Canada through the facilities of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is a mutual broadcasting system.